It's time for the first sports voice in Las Vegas, The Press Box, with Clay Baker and Ed Graney on ESPN Las Vegas.
Let's go!
Let's go!
New week ahead of us. ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Ed Graney, the churchgoer that is Clay Baker. 7:30, Jameson Welsh, the Jameson on the NBA. 8:30, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune on your Mountain West Conference race, of which no one really knows what the hell is happening beyond the first team. And 9 o'clock, here she is. If you want Valentine's Day suggestions, she's probably the last person in the world we should ask, but we're going to ask anyway. Steph McKenzie in on Monday this week. She's making money on Friday somewhere else. And then at 9:30, Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill, U.S. with all the odds. Well, I bring that up because the last time I saw you was not Friday, but was yesterday, as the second of three opening hymns were being played. You were late. I wasn't surprised, but I did see you out of this. I saw someone out of the corner of my eye walking down the aisle there at Sunday service, and it was my good friend Clay Baker.
Yeah,
I met you in the middle of the aisle for the bro hug, of which I'm obviously passed on many germs.
You did. You kind of you were a carrier, and I just tried to come in for some sanctuary, and I go away with a virus. What I wanted to know is, like, how come there was, like, a big spot next to you in that row, and you, like, blocked me out of it? I had to go sit in the row all by myself across the aisle.
No, you went to the right. You could have easily come over to the left, but you went to the right. You enjoyed the right.
You were, like, you were blocking the plate. You had 2 feet firmly down. You wouldn't let me in.
Now, look.
So I had to go and, like, find something on my own.
Now, you've seen me at church before. You know I'm an end-of-the-aisle guy. In case there has to be a quick exit.
You could be end-of-the aisle.
For whatever reason, there has to be a quick exit. Yesterday, there had to be a quick exit. Literally, it was before the sermon for a glass of water. You know, the cough started again. It wasn't good.
Yeah, I heard I heard the cough. I heard the 232 scratching. You know, it's like, the OCD, like, sounds like a dog trying to scratch the back of the ear. Ed likes to scratch in 232s. It's just letting you know. And it was good, but I don't need to sit next to you. I can find my own way, and it was good though that you and I both had the same plan, the J.R. Starkus move, exit stage left.
Yes.
As soon as like
yes.
that.
The no, last... I mean you listen to this all the sermon and the prayers and everything at the end. It's almost like that closing hymn. They're asking you to leave. We've got to set up for the next event.
No.
You need to go. No, is that not true? I've always felt that way.
You got to stay to that final attribution where they pray for your soul. don't you feel like, hey, you want to stick around for that last one? So at the end, it gives you that little, like, it's like a verbal anointment of the dew. And at least some guys look at one guy is looking out for you on Sunday. And
who's
at least,
that? Who's looking out for me?
You split. You split before you got to it. And I knew you were leaving, so that's why I had to, like, hustle
you got
out.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, I moved quick.
Well, it's not about making a mad dash for the cookies, because they're there as well, also with the lemonade and the nice coffee and some orange-infused water. So, yeah, this is a nice time. Good to see you there yesterday. You know who maybe needs to say a little prayer of forgiveness, perhaps, is our buddy at Georgia, Tom Crean, the basketball coach. So, breaking news this morning, Tom Crean has beaten John Calipari and Kentucky for Anthony Edwards, who on Rivals, I believe, is the number two ranked player in the country. Beat old Calipari in Kentucky, Georgia. Interesting, though, over the weekend, Tom Crean, former Indiana coach, now at Georgia, made more of a name for himself after an 80-64 loss at Ole Miss. Or two Ole Miss.
It's all on me, because I'm the one decided to keep these guys. It's all on me. And I get it, because the last thing I can do with making decisions on keeping guys in the program in the spring, okay, is now get overly mad at them because I'm the one that made the decision. So I live with that every day. And it doesn't mean that they're not great kids. But very few programs, when there's a takeover, okay, when you have guys that haven't done it at any point in time really in their career, a lot of those guys, they move on. That's what happens in a job change. And I didn't do that. And so I'm not going to complain, and we just got to keep doing everything we can do to fix it and make it better.
Okay, he's an idiot for saying that stuff. Let's start off with the basic Monday morning idiocy. Okay, they're not. Where should I start this? This is the most non-coach thing you can ever do. That guy essentially threw every one of his kids under the bus because he didn't recruit them, and he inherited them. I covered a program when there was a coaching change, and the first year they were awful. I mean, horrible. Kept all the kids. Never once said anything like this out loud. Obviously thought it. They were terrible. I think they won 4 or 5 games. They're horrible. But never, would never say this out loud. And then at the end of the year, this is what happens. And by the way, Coach Menzies is going to do this at the end of the year as well, I would think, because they got to clear a Justin scholarship. And my guess is he knows they're not good enough even next year to contend for that league. So they're going to have to move some kids. And that's the reality of college basketball. Now, you can do it in a very professional way and not say anything all year and have private conversations with kids and try to help them get somewhere else and try to put them maybe at a level that their talent says they should be at. Or you can do it the Tom Crean way and throw a bunch of kids under the bus. And by the way, George is not going to do anything this year. What if you're a kid on that team? Why the hell am I going to play for you hard the rest of the year? The hell am I going to? I'm going to die for a loose ball and risk injury for a guy who just threw me on the bus and said, well, they're nice kids. I, you know, the only reason they're here is I kept them and I probably shouldn't have. It's absolutely amazing. So the team I covered the following year, this is what happened, and I knew what happened. There's always individual meetings at the end of the year with your coach. Talk about the season, the future, what you need to do in the offseason to get better, all of that nonsense. Anyway, not nonsense to them, but you know what I mean. It's about 7 or 8 of the kids that I had covered in that first year were brought in and were told very simply, we love you, you're a nice kid, you can't play at this level. If you stay, you'll never play at this level. Let's see what we can do here. And a lot of those kids were helped by a staff to move to different places of where their ability. Now, a few stuck it out and a few didn't, a few kind of transferred out. But there's ways to handle a reality of collegiate athletics, specifically in basketball. Guys broom kids all the time. Brooming meaning they get them out. Now, there's different ways to do that, though. And what Crean should have done is the best way, which is you don't see, you coach the year. I love my kids. These are great kids. Yes. I don't want anyone but them. And then at the end of the year, you have these conversations, say, look, it's not going to work out. We need to get you somewhere where we think your talent is better suited for. And then if the kid says, screw you, I'm leaving anyway, then that's on the kid. I mean, yeah, eventually the kid has to make the decision. But obviously, I think if a coach is looking at you saying he's never going to play you again, then, you know, unless you... you know, or in love with a girl on campus and just want to stay, you can fight it. And what people also don't realize is scholarships are annually, they're year to year, which is very disingenuous, by the way, I think, on the coaching side of things, because they promise 4 to 5 year deals. Now, some coaches are beholden to that, and some coaches stick that out. But in the end, most coaches, even guys who say, hey, you're my guys always, if they move a kid, they'll try to do it in a way that helps the kid out. For Crean to do this, I don't. What is the point here? First of all, Crean, you're not getting fired. It's not like you're in your fifth year there. Everyone knows you inherited these guys. You know, did Marvin Menzies do this the first year at UNLV? We had like 1.5 players. No, he didn't do this. He said, "I love my guys."
Not once.
Now you knew in the future what was going to happen. Well, you know, they're going to get new players, and by the way, next year they're probably going to get some new players, and they're going to have to do some things with some kids. But there's a way to do it and a way to not. And Tom Crean did it the way you don't. I didn't get this. I've interviewed Tom Crean in the past. This was shocking to me. You're not on the, your job's not on the line. They know you're building a program. Heck, this morning you just got the number 2 kid in the country, Anthony Edwards, beat Calipari, beat Kentucky. I don't know, Clay. I saw this. I'm like, what was this? A horrible day from Crean? Did he have a bad day at home or something? He came out and decided to like throw his kids under the bus.
He, you know, if your team has lost 8 consecutive in the conference, yeah, you start to hear the boo birds. You start to hear that things aren't working out. But I just don't like the fact that he's trying to play the victim card, in the statement where he's like, you know, I have to live with this.
So I live with that every day, and it doesn't mean that they're not great kids. But very few programs, when there's a takeover, okay, when you have guys that haven't done it at any point in time really in their career, a lot of those guys, they move on.
You know, they move on, yeah. But why did you get, like, have your, you know, were you bent over a barrel on this? Were they had a gun to your head that you had to keep the kids? Like, you made the decision to do that because
then
you
coach the year out.
Yeah, then coach the year out. You were not, like, expected to go to the Sweet 16 this year. And I know maybe your losses are piling up, but... look, you always stay by your guys. He's from the Tom Izzo school. I mean, he was a Tom Izzo assistant. You never think like this. Like, you would never hear Izzo go off like this.
I'm telling you.
He was at Indiana and had what, Mike Davis's guys, right?
Well, maybe, but I could count on one hand if not. And I don't even know if I get through the one hand of things I've seen like this, where a coach pretty much throws all the. This happens all the time. Coaches inherit rosters. I was thinking about this on the way to work. It's funny that we're mentioning this. I was thinking about coach cliches and maybe writing a column. It's one of the cliches we always hear. Well, everyone stayed over the summer and is working hard. Good for you. Everyone in the world did that. It's not even new anymore. If your kids aren't staying over the summer and working hard, that's a you problem. Well, I've got to get my own guys. That's the cliche we hear from the coach that's new in his spot in the tenure. Got to get my own guys. Got to recruit my own guys. What does that really do? It really gives the perception, well, you know, I got to be here at least 3 or 4 years, guys. And it puts in everyone's minds, well, yeah, he's got to get his own guys. Let his own guys. But again, that's part of this. When you inherit a team, you've got to field a team the next year. Usually you inherit it when recruiting's pretty much done. You can get a couple late stragglers, you can get a juke, you can get someone, an unsigned senior. But usually the bulk of your team is going to be who you get. That's why Marvin's team was horrible his first year. He had no players. So Crean inherits this team. Obviously, they're not up to standards of the best SEC teams. But to go out and say this, why don't you just wait till the end of the year, have your one-on-ones, tell kids they're not coming back. You'll do everything you can. You're Tom Crean. You know a million people. You'll get a kid a scholarship somewhere or at a level he needs to. Look, there's kids at UNLV I saw on Saturday. They're nice kids, but they should be in the Big West. They're not Mountain West players. Sorry. They're not. I mean, I'm not going to name it's not fair to name kids. But I mean, if you've seen the team, you know who I'm talking about. And maybe at the end of the year, those conversations happen. Maybe it's like, look, gave it a shot here. This probably isn't your level. What can I do to help you? You know, he's going to have to do that eventually. You know, they got to clear a space for Justin if Justin comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, with Justin coming back and you subtract Robotham and Clyburn, they're not good enough to win the league next year. So what do you do? This is the reality of college basketball. You look to the end of the bench. Who can we move? Where can we free up scholarships to get better players? That's just reality, but there's ways to do it. There's classy ways, and then there's the Crean way.
Why would
you do this?
He's making it sound like he's the first coach that's ever had to inherit anybody.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It's like I've had to live with that every day. Like this burden of all. I mean, it also shows me the reason why they've lost 8 straight is probably because, as what happens in a lot of situations where you bring in a first-year coach, half the team is going to rebel against you because you're not the guy that brought them in there, and they're going to be looking on anyway. But I could see that he has lost the team already. And I don't think it's for lack of, they're like saying in the Atlanta Journal Courier that they've lost some mental toughness. Well, I think they've checked out because they know they don't like Tom. And Tom's been like playing
the
victim card.
The rest of the year, you have no chance. Right. If I'm a kid, I'm like, what the hell am I playing for this guy for? You just threw me away.
Right. This is a very passive aggressive way of going about, like, I don't like any of you, and I'm going to find my own guys. But he's probably had that mantra for the last couple months because everyone's just totally like, I'm out.
What a whiner. First of all, and this just in Crean, and you know how I feel. Get what you can. I've always said that. I always will. You make $3.2 million a year, Crean. Suck it up and coach these kids up. Make them better players for their next stop. You know, make them such a better player that if a kid, let's say they go to the SEC, to either the Mountain West or the WAC or something like that, where a coach goes, man, you know, you really can help us. You know, they taught you some stuff there at Georgia. They coached you well. Why don't you try that? You make over $3 million a year, for Christ's sake. You're sitting there whining already? What a whiner. This stuff like this drives me crazy. It's like the Durant stuff. We're looking up on TV now. The big thing with Kevin Durant, I guess this is his documentary coming out that he produced. He's a leading producer that ESPN's going crazy over this morning. You think he's going to talk about that? Is it okay, Kevin, if we ask you questions about that? We don't want to like make you mad, Kevin, and ask you questions about your impending free agency, given you're the one who decides to sign 1 year deals every year, so you can be a free agent at the end of each summer. So, but my God, if you want questions on my documentary in the boardroom or whatever this thing is, ask away. That's not how it works, man.
What do you want to talk about, Kevin?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about, man? Because we don't want you to complain like Tom.
And so I'm not going to complain.
I'm not going to complain. That's all you've been doing.
He got a 6-year deal for 3.2 annually. Translation, by the way, that's 10th most among coaches this year and yesterday, 3.2 million. Translation, he's not going anywhere. So why do you find it a need to come out after a game where you lose to a better team? And throw kids under the bus. And stop with the passive aggressive, I love my kids, they're great kids. You just threw them under the bus and ran over them with the all wheels. They went right over those poor kids. Come on. I didn't have to keep these kids, whatever. Really, Tommy, who would have you gotten then when you signed your contract? Who was out there for that level of player at Georgia in the SEC? By the way, those kids are usually wrapped up by then. This was just, I said, we have to start with this because this just drives me. And, it's timely because obviously then he nabs the number 2 player in the country this morning, beats Cal Poly, which is, good for him. Look, Tom Crean can recruit. I mean, he can get guys. There's nothing, and I think he can coach. That has nothing to do with any of this. This is how coaches tend to try to shift blame, and we're going to talk to Mark Ziegler at 8:30 about this. You know, shift blame, whether it's, you know, we're not ready, or I need my own guys, or we're young, or whatever. Just coach guys. Nobody wants to hear that nonsense halfway through the season. And we certainly want to hear Tom Crean saying, you know, what do we say? I had, you know, it's they lucky I did this, or I had to do this. Like, what? You make $3 million a year.
You
coach
got this
him.
Big, cushy SEC job and, like, SEC basketball.
You get a six-year deal at 3.2?
Like, how many times? Yeah, like they're getting a lot of pressure from the administration about the return on investment. They don't care. They
well,
make all their money in football.
No, I mean, this year they're not. You make the best point at Georgia.
How many times
have
we seen a coach like Crane's you know, lineage go to the SEC, make a big contract, and not do anything? You know what I mean? Like even Trent Johnson got some big money, like 10, yeah. 15 years ago, to go to LSU.
Oh, absolutely. I just, again, you're right. I mean, football at that school, I mean, 1 through 10 and top 10 reasons. But, you know, I'm sure they want to be good at basketball because the SEC, they want to be good at everything. And that's why the football money makes every other sport better. There's no question about that. You know, softball, baseball, whatever. They're going to be good in large parts because of the money. I mean, I retweeted Tim Sullivan, I think, last week. SEC schools this past year, just think about this if you're like you're a Mountain West or UNLV fan. SEC schools this past year each received a TV check of over $40-something million. What's UNLV's entire budget? 30-something?
Yeah.
They just received a check in the mail for $40-something billion just for the TV. So the fact that any non-Power 5 ever competes for anything, to me, is the most astounding thing. You know, softball, baseball, they all benefit at those schools from football. So I'm sure they want to be good at basketball because they pour a lot of money into it, and they, you know, they can't, God forbid, you're, you know, worst in Kentucky or worst in school or whatever, the weirdness in the South and most conferences in the Power Fives. But when you say something like this, dude, it's like you lost a lot of respect. And I if I'm those kids and I'm reading that, I'm looking at each other in the locker room going, what? I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. They're not very good. Those kids, believe me, are savvy enough. Kids in 2019 have handlers, AAU coaches, high school coaches. The ones who are going to leave probably already know that's going to happen. They probably know, look, this dude's recruiting these kind of levels of kids like the Edwards. I'm just not probably in the future plans. I'm sure they've been told that behind the scenes. I get that. So then just play it out, man. Play it out and do it behind closed doors and don't embarrass kids and help kids move on to the next step in their lives. I didn't get this one, man. And good for him that he got the kid. My guess is Anthony Edwards, he'll be okay with playing for a full year. My guess is he's not going to throw that kid under the bus because he's probably not going to have him for a year because...
Just wait till 2021. It'll be like, oh, we have to rebuild now. And you know what? I'm another victim.
And I chose
to
keep these kids that I recruited.
Yeah. This day and age, the kids, they're too powerful.
Keeping on it with college basketball. When we come back, Rebels go down at home to Fresno State. What does it mean in the big picture? We'll tell you in a bit.
All right. 7:18. We'll do the traffic in at 7:30. Jameson Welsh, NBA Insider, will join us.
We're going to be disciplined. We're going to be detailed, and we're going to play smart. Okay, we're going to be the team that plays smart, not the team that plays dumb.
Touch the sound, cosmic.
Watch out for the crash on the surface streets. Las Vegas Boulevard at East St. Louis Avenue. There's an injury accident there. And we also have a crash on Flamingo westbound at US 95 has a left lane blocked. Traffic brought to you by BND Pools.
Time to start planning for the 2019 swim season. Call B&D Pool Plastering and remodel your tired-looking pool. With B&D's 2019 swim season pricing, beat the rush. For a free estimate, call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
Everyone knows that even good people fall on hard times. Your credit cards get maxed out, and you get behind on your taxes. Unfortunately, the IRS is not as understanding, and they won't stop until they collect. They have the power to take your paycheck, freeze your bank accounts, even your home or business could be at risk. It's simply not worth it to take on the IRS by yourself. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. When you call, be sure to ask about the Fresh Start Initiative. It's a special IRS tax debt assistance program that could save you thousands. Even tens of thousands. Optima will immediately provide you with a team of professionals who could protect you from the IRS, ensuring that you get the best possible outcome. The Better Business Bureau has awarded them an A-plus rating, and you will too. So put the hard times behind you and call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I'm Derek England, and Vegas is my home. I work here, I play here, I even get my cars here. Finley Kia is my dealership. I appreciate the fact that they're Vegas born and bred. Whether you're looking for a fun-to-drive compact like the Kia Soul, a mid-size SUV like the Kia Sorento, or a performance luxury car like the Kia Stinger, come see Finley Kia. Getting it right is their driving ambition. And I know a little something about that.
Hey guys, are you ready for spring and this summer's pool season? Dr. Frank Style is a board-certified cosmetic plastic surgeon who specializes in male rejuvenation surgery. Ditch the dad bod and feel comfortable on the beach, at the pool, or in the locker room. Dr. Style is the number one surgeon for correction of male breast enlargement and can help you get your midsection tight and lean with one of his body contouring procedures using the high-def Vassar body sculpting machine or non-surgical cool sculpting platform. Go to drstyle.com or call his office at 702-243-9555 to make an appointment for a free consultation.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day's this Thursday, and this year you can love big and save big with Shari's Berries. Yeah, you get the best of both worlds, a great gift for your sweetheart and a sweetheart deal for you. For just $19.99 plus shipping, watch the love light up in her eyes when you send delicious dipped Valentine's strawberries from Shari's Berries. Delicious berries dipped in dark, white, and milk chocolatey goodness, then covered in decadent toppings. Only from Shari's Berries. All for just $19.99 plus shipping. And right now, you can add a dozen red roses to those amazing dipped berries for another $19.99. Shipped together at no extra charge. That's Shari's Berries for only $19.99 plus shipping and a dozen red roses for just $19.99 more. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter code 3939. That's berries.com, click on the mic, enter code 3939. Berries.com, code 3939.
Hey, this is Matt from 12 Volt Sex, and I want to invite you to come celebrate the music of 12 Volt Sex Saturday, March 2nd at 172, the new intimate rock club at the Rio Hotel. Join me, Jacob Chittister, Frank Klepacki, and Brianna Shen as we revisit the magic that is 12 Volt Sex with special guests Jesse Pino and the Vital Signs. Saturday, March 2nd at 172 inside the Rio Hotel. Brought to you by Dollar Loan Center and New Moon Entertainment. You wanna hook it up, you never say enough. Tickets are available on Eventbrite.com. $10 in advance, $15 day of show. Doors open at 8 p.m. and the show starts at 9. The music of 12 Volt Sex. Saturday, March 2nd at 172 inside the Rio Hotel. Courtesy of New Moon Entertainment and Dollar Loan Center.
The man and his music. Gordon Lightfoot, live in concert.
You could read my love.
Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th, International Theater at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Gordon Lightfoot, 80 Years Strong Tour. A night of hit after hit. Tickets are on sale now at the box office and online at westgatelasvegas.com. Gordon Lightfoot, produced by Danny Salisco, presents.
The Finley Automotive Group is excited to introduce the all-new Finley Volvo, located at 5385 West Sahara Avenue. Experience their award-winning cars and SUVs and see why Volvo is the fastest-growing luxury brand in Las Vegas. Call 702-982-4900 or visit FinleyVolvoLV.com today.
Gettle has 114 patents for things we've invented. GOETTL.com.
Universal Solar Direct. 702-483-6900.
79863.
How can a fully stocked restroom improve your image? How can serviced fire extinguishers or a first aid cabinet make your employees more prepared? How can comfortable work apparel make your business more productive? For over a million customers, the answer is simple. Cintas. Cintas delivers everything you need to open your doors with confidence. Because helping keep businesses well-equipped, clean, and looking their best, that's our business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
If you need service for your vehicle, there are only two places that make it extremely convenient for you. Visit Busy Boots Automotive at Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto at Durango and Cheyenne. They provide free diagnosis and free towing with repairs, plus free shuttle service, Wi-Fi, gourmet coffee, and much more. No appointment needed. Open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. On your first visit, get 10% off up to $50. At your convenience, visit Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto on Durango and Cheyenne.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
In the morning, when you want the news, you need the front page every hour on the press box.
Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters.
And now, the news.
Here we go on a Monday. Welcome back. Was out there on Saturday, Clay.
Mm.
Rebels go down to Fresno State. 83-65. Did you watch it?
I watched it, and it was painful because you're starting to see that. Well, just as an observation, there is a large gap between what the Runner Rebels are able to do against certain teams, and what that means is that they can beat the average to below average teams, but anything in the top three, they get squashed. I mean, this is just—it just seems like there's a large gap between this team and Reno, Fresno State, San Diego State. I mean, still Utah State. I still can't believe that. But I mean, when they are outmatched, they're getting blown out. And they get down early where it just seems like it's just an abyss. It's a pit that they can't crawl out of.
So this was the stretch everyone waited for. They went 5-0 to start the league, but honestly, there weren't great teams in that 5-1 start. Everyone wanted to see how they do against the stretch. Well, they played, as I wrote in Sunday's paper, a top-10 team in Reno, a solid team in Utah State, a sometimes solid one in Fresno State, and two terribly, terribly inconsistent and dead flat average ones at against San Diego State and Boise State.
Yeah.
They go 1-4, and the losses are 17, 17, 17, and 18 points. So to your suggestion there, when it comes to, and I use this word, cautiously, the better Mountain West teams beyond Reno, they didn't compete. Now, again, things are really simple some days in college basketball. 4 days before they lost Saturday, they made 14 of 26 threes, and they won it. They won at Boise, who made 5 of 19. Against Fresno State, Fresno State makes 15 of 29. The Rebels 3 of 15. They lose by 18. So much of this is really simple in that if you make your threes and the others don't, you win the game. There's more goes into it. One, Fresno was better. They're just a better team. They're going to be better there. They're going to be better in Fresno, which UNLV doesn't have to travel to, and they'd certainly be better on a neutral. They really, really, really struggle guarding people. They're just not, meaning UNLV, they're just not good defensively. Sometimes they can stop a skilled leading player of the other team. This was another example of that they couldn't. Braxton Huggins went absolutely crazy on them, and they just can't stop kids like this. 31, 10 of 16 shooting, 6 of 9 on threes. Interesting that he signed with New Mexico State and played 2 years for Marvin Menzies in New Mexico State before playing a junior year for Paul Weir and then transferring to Fresno State. I asked the kid afterwards, hey, did Marvin recruit you here? I mean, you know, as a transfer. No. Why not? I don't want to speak on that topic. Okay, let me ask Marvin. Marvin, he's from Bakersfield, and we understood he wanted to be closer to home. He's back now right up down the road from where he grew up. Great kid, works his tail off, gym rat, loves the game. I'm happy for him and his family. So here's the thing. I don't know 100% of what happened here. It could be very, very easily explained that UNLV made a courtesy call. Kid said, I'm going home. And that's probably what happened here. That's what you kids usually do. That's why when you're UNLV or whoever you are, when you recruit a kid and you lose out on them, never burn a bridge. Say, hey, if it doesn't work out, we're here for
we'll
you.
We'll always be here. Home that's how you do it. Yeah.
Biagio Walsh, back with UNLV football. Noah Robothan, Nick Blair. These kids, you know, a lot of kids gravitate towards coming back where they're familiar with. So this kid, my guess is he's got seven brothers there in Bakersfield. He's a Bakersfield kid. It's like Justin Hudson. Now, Justin Hudson wasn't there when he transferred, so it wasn't a Huddy decision. But Justin Hudson said, I coached his brother in high school at Bakersfield High, and I was really glad to see him on the roster because Bakersfield and the Huggins boys are known for two things, crossover and jumper, and he's better than all of them. So the kid's really a good player, and I could easily see it just being like kids saying, you know what, I was 3 years in Las Cruces. I want to go home. Where's the closest place? Well, I'll go play for Fresno. And didn't want to go play for Cal State Bakersfield. Wanted to play a little higher level, went for Fresno. Now he's down the road from home, as Marvin said, and he beat the you-know-what out of the Rebels on Saturday. Rebels now on Tuesday, and this is what's going to happen. This is what the overall theme here is. They host Air Force tomorrow night. Now, look, they gave up 106 to Colorado Springs. They're certainly not going to do that again. I think they win the game tomorrow night, and then they go to San Jose State, which Clay and I and Adam Hill, 3-on-5, could beat. So they're probably going to win that game. At Wyoming's a little trickier because they just beat Carter State. Just James is one of the better players in the conference, so there might be some issues there. But they should, if they play up to their potential of what their potential is, UNLV should win the next three games before getting back into the Renos and San Diego States and Boise's and people like that. Don't go overboard and don't react either way, because here's the thing. No matter what happens the rest of the way in the regular season, their challenge or their goal shouldn't change. Top five finish. Avoid the first day. Take your shot at home. That's their ceiling. That's kind of how good / bad they are. Just get out of that first day. Finish in the top five. I think they're going to do it. Jeff Grammer tweeted a great tweet earlier today or last night. The remaining games for Mountain West Conference teams' strength of schedule against, and UNLV has one of the easier ones going out. The team they'll probably fight for fifth place is San Diego State. Mm-hmm. The toughest schedule by far remaining of anyone. Like, their winning percentage of teams they're about to play is like mid-50s. I think UNLV's winning percentages are in the 30s, which tells you UNLV has a great chance to finish fifth and to avoid the game. And I don't know what you think, but I think that's what should be the goal. You're not very good. They can't defend anyone. So get in the top five and don't play on the first day. And then you take your shot at home and you hope you can get some people out there. And who knows, you might win a game.
Well, you got to avoid the bad calls.
Especially when a coach moves on. Huggins just threw Amari Hardy to the ground and no call. Wow. I mean, this is atrocious.
One of those games, boy.
I mean, Marvin Menzies is out on the floor. I think Marvin's going to try to get it. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a tee right here. Huggins then shoots a three, and he made it. I mean, it's a joke. Absolute joke, the officiating tonight.
Jameson Welsh comes up next from our NBA Insider, as we'll take a 90-second break, come back here, and we'll do the traffic here. It's 7:33 on a Monday.
53-pointers! You gave up 53-pointers! Wow!
That's the sound cosmic.
Traffic brought to you by Team Ford Lincoln, US 95 and Ann Road. Shop 24/7 at teamford.com. We have a crash on Flamingo westbound of US 95. The left lane is blocked in the street, so expect some delays there getting on the on-ramp. Other accidents include East St. Louis Avenue at Las Vegas Boulevard, Rainbow at Windmill, Patrick at Sandhill. We also have a crash on Lake Mead at Lamb, and a Mojave at Bonanza. Team Ford Lincoln, US 95 and Ann Road. Shop 24/7 at teamford.com.
Hi, it's the Herd. I've had the best year ever making picks for the Blazing Five. Now I'm going to give you my top pick for 2019 and Vegas. Go to Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall when you need a new car. Look, with all the free stuff they give, free registration, a free $500 Visa gift card with purchases of any new vehicle, you know, you're easily going to walk out on top. Go to Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall, or just go to FordCountryLV.com and get your free stuff today. Tell them the Herd sent you.
Hey there, Las Vegas. Ed Graney from the press box here. Man, it is cold out there right now. Hey, while you're keeping all warm and toasty and contemplating the future inside, possibly considering a major change like selling your home, I've got the only answer for you. That's my good friends at Open Door. Just go to opendoor.com/radio now to receive that free offer on your home based on current market conditions and a detailed comparison of homes in your area. Here's the best part. You can receive that free offer within 48 hours. From there, let those at Open Door handle everything. You don't even have to put the home on the market, folks. You don't have to worry about cleaning or getting the home show ready, about open houses or strangers coming through the doors, about those tiring back and forth negotiations. Hey, Open Door is going to allow you to move on to the next best chapter of your life. Here's another good part. They can help you close on your desired timeline, whether it's as quick as 10 days or as long as 60. This is the best new innovative way to handle what can be a long and grueling process of selling a home across southern Nevada. Listen, it's time, folks. Make a tough decision easy and smart. Go visit opendoor.com/radio right now for that free offer. That's opendoor.com/radio. and you won't regret it.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Six on the shot clock. Embiid one-on-one against Tyson Chandler. Spins away from him. Boy, that is a big-time shot, Hubie.
This is a different season. It's different circumstances because we've been injured. I was injured. We've had guys that was in and out of the lineup throughout the whole season, and then you know, we have a couple of new guys coming in. So this season is going to be totally different from the sense of, you know, how fast or how quickly we can try to fast track this so we can get back to, you know, playing the type of basketball we're playing before my injury.
All right, there he is. Bron talking about the Lakers. Here's Magic's talking about everyone. Magic understands the league rules. I don't know what Magic knows.
Well, at least he understood. He like was like, well, we have to sign off on if I can say this or not.
That was nice of him to let the league sign off on tutoring another person's player. All right, here we go. Joined each Monday by NBA expert Jameson Welsh. Follow him on Twitter at the Jameson, Jameson. Does Magic just, is this just kind of Magic we've come to know over his career, and he just kind of talks about everything, and or do you think there's always something behind his words when he goes off, whether it be Pelicans weren't genuine in their dealing, Ben Simmons wants to play with me over the summer if the league allows it? What do you make of Magic?
So here's the thing, the best comp for Ben Simmons, Magic Johnson, that's the best comp for him. He's a bigger, more athletic version of Magic when Magic first got. That's the comp. That's the real comp. They both have shooting difficulties, even though Magic shot, free throws pretty well throughout his career. But they both didn't shoot the outside shot that well. They both were bigger, faster, stronger for their time, for what they do on the court, what they bring to the court. Very, very similar players, especially at this stage of their careers. Of course, Magic was, more talented, and, he won a championship as a rookie, and he did all he did, but very similar. So when Magic sees a guy like that, a big guy that plays the point guard, he always reaches out. It's always been like that. This is not something that just happened because he's the president of the Lakers. This has been taking place for over 20 years. I remember, as funny as it seems, funny as it sounds, I remember when Shaq got hurt in 96, and he says next time Shaq is out for 40-plus games, or if he's ever out for that amount of time, he's going to teach him how to run the point. Now, I don't know how serious that was, but that's a comment he made 20-some-odd years ago. So that's just kind of how it is. Magic's an ambassador of the NBA as well. Even though he's the president of a team, he's a top five player ever. He's an ambassador, and certain things he should be allowed to say because, he's the best point guard ever. So if he wants to say something, he should say something. I know there's tampering rules. I get it, but he's getting smarter now. 2 years ago, he wouldn't have said, I need the NBA to sign off on it. He would have said, hey, Benson's reached out to me. We're going to see what we could do. He'd have stopped with $500,000 fine. Now he's getting smarter about it and saying, hey, we asked the NBA. We'll see what happens.
But at the same time, I would love to see what the assistant coaches of the Sixers feel about that. Even Elton Brand, all right, please stop. Nobody's talking to anyone from L.A. And although everything seems to be going very well for Philly, because I think Elton Brand kind of helped them put themselves in a position to contend now, especially following the NBA trade deadline.
So the Sixers are all in. For those that play poker, I don't know, a lot of people listen and play poker. They got pocket queens right now, and they shove. They don't have the best hand. They don't have absolutely the best hand. They have a pretty damn good hand, and they're all in right now. They're all in with a pretty good hand, pretty good shot. We'll see what happens. They have four All-Star caliber players this year. Of course, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris did not make it, but they have some guys that are very good players that fit well. The only person that doesn't really fit well is Jimmy Butler, but he still plays good. He plays good defense, and if he's your third or fourth best player, you're in pretty good shape going forward. You're in really good shape there. So when I look at their team and I look at what they bring to the table, as long as they're healthy, they're probably the best team out East because no one else has the personnel to really match what they do. They're throwing out – the reason why the Lakers started Dante Bullock last night is because they threw out, four guys that are 6'8" and above. That's tough to deal with. Very few NBA teams have that kind of personnel that can actually start, not necessarily play them at the same time, but start them. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going forward, but they won the deadline by far. The Sixers have won the deadline. They put themselves in a position to compete for a championship for the next couple of years.
We talked about the Kevin Durant comments last week to the media. I understand why you go year to year when you're him, because you can just, you can opt out or, make another fortune. I get it. Take us back to the MVP speech with his mom. And then from there, we have seen, whether it's the shade on Twitter, whether it's the fake accounts, whether last week just going off on some tangent on the guy from The Athletic and other places because they might have mentioned, you know, or they wrote that he might go to New York. What is going on with Kevin Durant? Now, like we said earlier this morning with this boardroom thing on ESPN, my guess is he'll be fine answering questions about that, but that's not how it works. You can't just dictate, or maybe he can up there, what they ask him. What do you make of what's happened to Kevin Durant from that guy we saw crying and thanking his mom?
So this all changed. Like, Kevin Durant changed when James Harden got traded from OKC to Houston. And that's when everything changed, because then it became a business. As we all know, when we all work in the media, so we all know when, you know, people have a job to do. You know, when you're in the locker room, when you're at the presser, you have to ask questions. You have to, you know, for whatever, you know, outlet you work for, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a newspaper, TV network, whatever, you have to ask questions. That's your job. A lot of players don't like answering certain questions. There's been a lot of smoke around Kevin Durant, where he's going to be next year or next season. It's been either New York or L.A. from things I've heard for the last year, and it's looking more like New York than ever before. So with that being said, if that's the case and people are hearing about it, then people are going to ask. And people don't understand, when a player of that magnitude, when that guy is on the move or there's something, a possibility, this doesn't randomly happen. These things are set months in advance for marketing purposes. When Nike's paying you $30 million, there are certain things that have to be in place for when you do make the decision, they're ready to go. It just doesn't happen automatically. So there's a lot of things in motion behind the scenes that people are hearing about. People are kind of saying, hey, like, you know what, he's probably leaving. He's probably going here. There's just no one has said it yet. So that's what's going on. But at the same time, I understand where he's coming from. He wants to talk about basketball. He wants to talk about what actually happened in the game. And I get that, but when you're a superstar player, and he is one of the few superstars in the NBA, when you are that guy and you're that talented, you're going to have to answer all the questions. Or you're going to get asked all the questions. You may not answer them the way you want to, but you're going to get asked everything. So for me personally, you know, Kevin Durant, he's a very, very fine basketball player. He's probably one of the top 20 players ever right now and rising. With that being said, he could use some PR help. Because everything that's come out over the last year and change hasn't been the greatest, I'll put it that way.
On Friday and Saturday, the New York Knicks put out a little email talking about our ticket pitch for next year, and they had a picture of Kevin Durant playing against the Knicks, and it was just kind of like a funny little sidebar story that they ended up deleting the photo. But it seems as though that this is now becoming like a bit of a destiny for Durant to go to the Big Apple, despite we know how New York's media is, if you don't like public scrutiny, then this is probably not the market for you to go to.
Oh, and that's the funny part. People don't realize, like, a lot of these players weren't watching basketball, weren't around the 90s, when, you know, especially those Knicks playoff series, if you did well, it was all good. But if you messed up, boy, if you had a game-losing turnover or you missed a big shot, you were crushed. I mean, ask John Starks, ask Charles Smith, ask Patrick Ewing how that worked out. However, this is the situation. Kevin Durant thought if he won a championship or two, people would view him differently. He's learning now that's not the case. We live in the era where people love to hate more than ever. There's one thing that can change that, though. If you lead the Knicks to a championship, if you break the 40-plus year, you know, the almost 50-plus, almost 50-year, you know, break of championship from the Knicks, if you break that, your legend takes on a certain route that various people can, you know, talk about, because now you're the hero in New York. And for both people who are from New York or been in New York, the city is different when the Knicks are winning.
Yep.
When they're in the mix. The city's different. The people rally around that team differently. Hell, even the media is different. So if he's able to go to New York and team up with another star player or two, and he finds a way to win a ring there, man, we think of Kevin Durant a whole lot differently than the guy that joined the 7-3-9 Warriors.
It's funny you say that. I know people born and raised there, and they said people would be shocked. And because I always asked this guy who's a total New Yorker, rank the team when everyone's playing well, when everything's good, rank the teams. He goes, Giants, Knicks. I said, where's the Yankees? He goes, nope. He goes, Giants, Knicks. He goes, now the problem is the Knicks haven't been good in forever. He goes, but when they are good and when the garden is packed and they are hopping, there's nothing like it. I think people are surprised at that a little.
So here's the thing. The Knicks sell out every night. Like, the Knicks fans, I mean, they say a lot of crazy stuff. They act wild on draft night. I give them credit for this. Those are probably the most expensive seats in the league. If not, they're definitely top three.
Wow.
And they show out every night. Now, I know a lot of them are celebrity stuff. I get that. But that building is filled every night with fans. So you got to give them credit. And they haven't had a whole lot to brag about or cheer about over the last 20 years. They've had a couple of playoff appearances since 2001. So that tells you all you need to know. However, if Kevin Durant goes there, with the way we think about him now as a whole, if he goes there and wins a championship there, everything changes. Everything changes for him. Me personally, I don't care who you team up with. I don't care what team you go with, because you know you're free to do that. But if he goes to New York, his whole narrative is different. And that's something I think he's taking a look at, because when he went to the Warriors, people didn't like the move for various reasons. But at the same time, it's like, wow, you joined that team. If you go to the Knicks and bring them back to relevancy, and if you somehow win them a ring there, you're the king of the city, and that's something you can't take away.
We had this on Twitter this morning. I saw you responded. I want to get your thoughts. Tom Crean over the weekend, as you know, after the Mississippi game, he threw his kids under the bus. I mean, he just said, you know, I inherited them. I kept them. I didn't have to. Poor me, poor me. 6 years, $3.2 a year he makes. This morning, he gets Anthony Edwards to commit over Kentucky and John Calipari. I mean, you know the business as well as anyone, and you know kids get bruined, but there's a professional way to do it, and there's a Crean way to do it. Did this surprise you at all? And if you're a kid on that team right now and you know you're one of the kids getting bruined, how are you playing for this guy the rest of the year?
So first of all, I've never seen a coach do this. Sure. Like, never. I mean, I remember Lon Kruger's first year here, and he had an interesting roster, but he never threw anybody under the bus or nothing like that. He just coached and then moved on. The guys moved on. He brought his own guy. But there was never any, you know, slandering or talking down about the play. That's very unprofessional. However, Anthony Edwards is someone unlike he's ever coached. He's never coached an Anthony Edwards type guy in college. Oladipo and Wade, he's coached in college, we know, but they weren't top five prospects or top three prospects
Tournament.
They became very good, but they weren't clear one-and-done guys, obviously. So I'm very curious to see how he's going to manage that, because he's never dealt with that before, and I don't think it's going to work out. Now, the people around the Georgia program, they made that work. I found out Thursday night when he canceled his visit to FSU. We kind of figured this was going to happen. But, you know, hey, I mean, he got top talent. We'll see if he can coach. I don't think it's going to work out well, because it's a very bad mix, but he did get the best player in the class, so that's always a good thing. I just don't think it's a good mix.
Hey, real quick, you used a gambling or a poker analogy talking about the Sixers having pocket queens going in after the NBA draft. What would you say about the Toronto Raptors? Maybe holding onto a pair of fives there, because it just doesn't seem that Gasol is going to be enough to get them over the hump in this whole Kawhi Leonard experiment. Seems all for naught.
They have a mid-pocket pair. A little bit better than fives, but okay. Definitely not higher than nines. They have a mid-pocket pair. We'll see what happens. The Marcus Gasol thing is kind of weird, because he doesn't really fit what they do. Their best is when they have a Ibaka at the five and they have all the wing players out there and they're able to switch everything. They're able to defend at a high level. The one thing Marcus Gasol will do is open up their offense. He's a really good playmaker from the center position. I just want to see who has to take the step out, because if you play him and Ibaka at the same time, that means in a lot of cases that either Danny Green or OG Anunoby has to step out, and I don't think that's a good thing for them. But we'll see. But also, I mean, when you bring in a guy like Marcus Gasol, you're probably thinking you're going to play Joel Embiid some part of the playoffs, and you want as many defenders for him as possible, because what Joel Embiid is doing in the NBA right now is very, very impressive. You know, the center position is not as deep as it has been in the past in the NBA. It's still pretty solid, and Joel Embiid is putting up big numbers on really good centers on a nightly basis.
Follow him on Twitter at the Jameson, Jameson. Best in the business, Jameson Welsh on NBA. Thanks again, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me,
take
as always.
All right. Jameson Welsh. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter at the Jameson. Yeah, that's great stuff. I'm glad he talked about Crean there. And does this mean the Lakers are off suit Jack too?
What's the
worst hand you want when you're like when you're at one of my poker parties and I deal you offsuit Jack two for the fifth straight deal and you're worried about who's dealing the cards? Do you just say just another bad hand?
I should just fold it, just wait my turn because I'm getting clobbered each and every round
by the Minnesota kid Sam Gordon.
It's time to start telling dirty jokes. All right, when we come back, we'll do the traffic here at 7:50 on your Monday morning. We'll get you in touch with the Vegas Golden Knights at the top of the next hour. We'll also be joined by Mark Ziegler at 8:30 here on the Press Box Morning Show.
If you need service for your vehicle, there are only two places that make it extremely convenient for you. Visit Busy Boots Automotive at Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto at Durango and Cheyenne. They provide free diagnosis and free towing with repairs, plus free shuttle service, Wi-Fi, gourmet coffee, and much more. No appointment needed. Open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. On your first visit, get 10% off up to $50. At your convenience, visit Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto on Durango and Cheyenne.
That's the sound cosmic.
We have a crash on Durango northbound at Oso Blanco Lane. The right lane is blocked there. We also have that accident Flamingo westbound at US 95. The street left lane is blocked. Expect delays there. Other accidents include Patrick at Sandhill, Rainbow at Windmill, Lake Mead at Lamb, and a crash on Mojave at Bonanza.
If you're lucky enough to live near the Napoli's Pizzeria on Warm Springs Road or the location on West Sahara, you're in for a treat. During game time, these two locations are offering a one-topping 18-inch pizza and 10 wings for just $25.99. That's a huge one-topping 18-inch pizza and 10 wings for $25.99. And don't forget, whenever there's a football game on, beer is just $2 at Napoli's. When you crave great pizza, Napoli's Pizzeria is the place to go. For the complete menu, just click LasVegasPizzeria.com.
All right, Kayla, so I know you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan, right?
Oh, I never miss a game.
And obviously, you have Collector's Cup number one with Derek England that's only available at Terrible Herbs.
I do.
But did you know that they released cup number two?
What?
Uh-huh, and you know who's on it?
No.
Jonathan Marchessault!
Marshy, Marshy, Marshy!
That's right, it's all about Marshy right now at Terrible Herbs. With Collector's Cup number two featuring Jonathan Marchessault, number 81. So head over to Terrible Herbs and pick up your Collector's Cups right now.
No guts, no glory. This is Monster Jam. Presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses and Big AT Tires. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions may apply. Coming to Sam Boyd Stadium March 23rd.
If you own a construction company, a real estate company, or if you're a developer, I want to tell you about Las Vegas SkyCam, owned by TV's Ted Pretty. Las Vegas SkyCam provides crystal clear overhead videos and photographs using state-of-the-art drone technology. In the past, overhead photography relied on expensive airplanes, but Las Vegas SkyCam can make aerial videos and photos for hundreds of dollars less than old-school full-size aircraft. Plus, Las Vegas SkyCam can provide images with details you've never seen before. Learn more at LasVegasSkyCam.com.
Universal Solar Direct. Pay less for your electric.
79863.
Solve your business problems now by getting your business on a new reality TV show filming right here in Las Vegas. Sell It or Max It begins filming very soon and needs you to answer the casting call now by going online to sellitormaxit.com. That's sellitormaxit.com. Two teams are going to go head-to-head to help your business with up to $50,000 in benefits to improve your profits, or you can choose to sell it to the highest bidder. You make the decision. Learn more now and apply online at sellitormaxit.com.
All right, here we go. Top of the hour talk, VGK, the loss to Columbus, Arizona in town tomorrow night. Toronto Thursday, Nashville Saturday. Some big games coming up this week for VGK. Still in third in the Pacific, chasing Calgary and San Jose. Former NBC sportscaster Bob Castis claims that a network executive told him, "You crossed the line," after he commented that football destroys some players' brains, and was booted from hosting the 2018 Super Bowl shortly thereafter. In an ESPN story published Sunday, Castis detailed circumstances surrounding his departure from network after some 40 years. In late 2017, at a University of Maryland journalism symposium, Costa said, "The reality is this game destroys people's brains, not everyone's, but a substantial number. It's not a small number, it's considerable, and it destroys brains." Costa said that he later received a text from executive producer Sam Flood that said, "You crossed the line," and was told he wouldn't be announcing the 2018 Super Bowl. "I recall the phrase, 'It's a six-hour, day-long celebration of football, and you're not the right person to celebrate it.'" Costa said, "To which my response was, 'Oh, please, please change my mind.' Response was, 'Yeah, I guess you're right.'" Well, he's, you know, he wrote an essay when the movie Concussion came out. And around the time, you know, he would write these essays. We've all seen the Bob Costas essays on studio hosting when he looks into the camera and just, you know, speaks kind of eloquently and has an opinion about something. Olympics come to mind, many things like that. He wrote an essay after the concussion, I think either before or right after the concussion movie came out. And the response was back, "Hey, Bobby, we got to calm down here. We're trying to get Thursday night football." I mean,
we want these NFL people to like us.
Just the total disregard for what's happening in their league because they need more money to get in Thursday Night Football, so they want the NFL. So God forbid Costas goes on and says the truth and says that this game destroys people's lives. And like you said, not everyone. There's not, you know, it's not everything in, you know, in football, just like it's not everything in life. You'll always have a portion that it doesn't destroy their brain, but it destroys other things. I've heard, you know, one of my probably favorite player of all time. I'll listen to him whenever he's on is Troy Aikman. I mean, he talks all the time, but he can't get out of bed. I mean, this is a guy who, when you look at him on TV, looks really, really fit. He said, "Yeah, you should see me getting out of bed this morning, trying to walk to the bathroom, you know, any day." I mean, the violence that have endured on those bodies, and he's probably one of the fortunate ones. All he's dealing with is the back and the legs and the shoulders, everything like that. He seems like his brain, as many concussions as Troy Aikman had, at least now, you know, hope for the best, obviously, but at least now. It appears that, you know, he might have come out without serious brain damage. But again, you don't know 10 years, 15 years down the road with these things. I'm not surprised at this at all, are you? This doesn't shock me at all. They're all about money and TV ratings.
I'm just surprised it came out so now. It's like, you know, Outside the Lines went a little deeper into it. But even ESPN has to be careful about ruffling feathers. And, you know, when that movie came out in 2015, and Costas doing the Sunday Night Football, he wanted to go and do a lead-in with Mike Webster. And the former Steelers player is a perfect lead-in for, you know, how untreated concussions can take you down a road where, you know, there's just nothing but irreparable damage. And they cut that. You know, they wanted to make sure that they keep their relationship on Sunday Night Football as pristine as possible.
Yeah, they want the farce to continue. That, you know, we really care about player safety.
But they also think that we are not going to notice. They also feel like the everyday fan is just not going to care or to think for themselves to decide. Yeah, we know this is a dangerous sport, and what are you going to do about it?
You have players now. I know Breeze is one of them. I think Rivers is one of them because they actually both coach their boys in flag football during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You do have players coming out, putting their boys in flag football and holding off on when they hit. If anyone knows this stuff better than anyone, it's the people who endure the hits and who endure it. So if you are a dad like Breeze or Rivers and you take hits and know what the league's about, you know, aren't you listening to those guys? I mean, they're the ones who take the hits. Goodell doesn't take hits. He sits in the press box with us. I mean, he's not taking any hits. So I thought this was interesting. ESPN spent many, many, many months with Bob Costas doing a story on this, and they've just now come out with it. Mark Fanuato, one of the great investigative journalists of this time, brought down Valco and all of that,
yeah.
Was the one who wrote it. But it's just to see the words on the screen that says, we got your essay, but we're trying to get Thursday Night Football. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about the mindset, not only of the NFL, but this was TV. Everyone's in it for the last buck. Everyone's in it for money.
Costas goes on to say, it tells you who calls the shots. The only business arrangement I can think of where the buyer must continually flatter the seller is the sports TV business. And he likened it to putting a Brinks armored truck up to Park Avenue for Mr. Goodell because it contains billions of dollars that we're going to pay you for the right and privilege to televise your games.
Right. I mean, how about the crazy producer saying you crossed the line because you actually said that? Because they're worried about their bottom line because they don't want to, you know, like you said, make King Roger unhappy. That's what it's all about. Let's not make them unhappy because the NFL say, heard what Costas said. We'll just go with the other station.
Well, they don't think like Costas is ever going to rock the boat, so you pay him whatever he wants because he's that trusted face and, you know, kind of looks like Dick Clark, never ages. And, you know, he looks like a kid and he comes out there and, like you said, speaks eloquently, speaks to camera. And that's the kind of message you want. But then when he says something that's that hurts the money, and you see the real conflict coming in.
It shows you no one's above it, right? It shows you, even as great as Bob Costas is, I have no clue how many Emmys he must have in terms of sports reporting. It just goes to show you that he made a few comments at a symposium at a college, and all of a sudden he was off the Super Bowl. That shows you that there is no one who's untouchable when it comes to that, you know, that profession. You would think he would be, you know, one of the few, right? That would, you know, they would respect and take into account whatever he said.
Kind of like an untouchable in a way, right?
Yes, but no. No untouchables, buddy. Connery got in the movie. I watched it last night.
Yeah?
1637 Racine. Oh, you did. Look at you. Bring a knife to the gun party. Then your guy goes in the alley. It's over with a machine gun. Connery going down hard.
He took like 16, 17 bullets, man.
That's the one scene that always about the Untouchables that, well, there's some cool scenes, but that's the one. The machine gun, that guy hit him like 40 times, and he was still able to crawl in looking for the bus, looking for the bus depot where the accountant was being taken, and wait till Costner got there. Back in those days, there were no cell phones or internet, right? So someone's got to run down to the police station and say, hey, I think the old man got shot. You got to find Costner. He comes all the way over there along with Andy Garcia. And as he's tainted to dying breath, you know, what are you going to do about it with the bus? I'm like, it's Connery. You're a tough old SOB. How'd you survive that long? You took like 30 shots from that machine gun.
Took 17 shots right in the gut. Stay away from the windows, will you? All right, when we come back, it's the Front Page. We'll go over the Golden Knights next.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas, K265EZ. In the morning, when you want the news, you need the Front Page every hour on the press box.
Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment, the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters.